Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You come at me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. His trust wasn't put in any weapons, but in the God who was with him. And he knew that.
David knew that he could not fight Goliath alone in the power of his own flesh. He was no match. But with God fighting for him, David knew victory was his and the glory belonged to God. That's what God does when we face that stronghold, that mountain. When we ask God to battle for us and go before us in all trust, our God delivers. Such a great reminder. Here's part two of 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 55, with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Is there not a cause? And that should be a rally cry for us. Is there a cause? Is there a reason for us to take a risk? Are we called to do something that makes a difference in the lives of people, even throughout eternity? Is there not a cause? I have a little sign of this in my office. Right now, because we put some studio in there, it's kind of laying on the floor. But is there not a cause? It's great to have that thought and to remember it. It's one of the great things that we can bring from this chapter. We have a cause. There is a reason for us to be right with God. There is a reason for us to battle sin and get it out of our lives. There is a reason for us to live in front of other people so that they can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Because there is a cause. There is something that we're involved in. Then he turned towards another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first did. So after his brother rebukes him, he turns to another and goes, what did the king say that he would give to him who would go out and stop this defiler of the armies of God? Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Now, we're told in this chapter that he is a youth. He will be referred to as little more than a boy. He's young. He's not seasoned. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it fail because of him, for I'm going to go and fight him. And I think Saul's looking at him going, great. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. Number one, he's stronger, bigger than you. Number two, he's skilled and you're not. You're a youth. And as far as betting odds go, you would never bet on David. There's no way. These two are going out into the battlefield and 100 out of 100 times, if God isn't in the picture, he loses. 1,000 out of 1,000 times, he loses if God isn't in the picture. But when you put God in the picture, the odds change. And that's the same in our lives. No wonder the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's really interesting about that passage, we often think that it's saying something like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do these great things through it. But Paul says, don't be covetous, but be content with what you have. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can take my struggles and I can win over them. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the context of that passage. The passage is I can go do great things. The passage is I can do great things in my own life because God strengthens me and I can win over these giants or these challenges that we're staring down the barrel of now because God's been brought into the equation. And that's what Saul didn't see, but he's going to pretty quick. But David responds to Saul, verse 34. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it. A lion and a bear? I told you before that I watched a few bear attacks on the YouTube page that I watch at home. And then it got into their algorithm and they started putting bear attacks up there. The tragic death of such and such. You click on it and watch it for a little while and you realize, I'm never going to Yellowstone Park. I'm never going anywhere where there are bears. Bears are like the most frightening things. he strikes them. It says, and delivered a lamb from its mouth. Now we learn something else about David. He's willing to put his life on the line for a lamb that has been attacked by a bear and another time a lion. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Now, how do you grab a bear by the beard and strike it and kill it? Or a lion by the beard and strike it and kill it? Because God's with him. He says, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. The more we interact with God, the more we trust in him being with us, the more we get victory over the smaller things in our lives, the more we realize that we can trust him to be on our side in when we face the bigger challenges, the harder challenges. Some of those struggles or giants are in our own lives. Fighting, we deceive ourselves. We get caught up in things. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. And again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome those things by God being with us. Now, Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you, which is like, just seems to me that it's like such an, putting on such an air. Go and may the Lord be with you. God delivered you from a bear and a lion. Well, then what am I going to say? Go and the Lord be with you. While he's thinking, I'm glad I'm not going out there to face that giant. So Saul clothed David with his armor and he put bronze helmet on him and also clothed him with a coat of mail. Now, if David's smaller than the average height, he's under 5'3" at this point. And Saul is head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He's around 6 foot something, six foot, six one, six two. Putting that armor on David, well, you can't wear someone else's armor. You can't do things the way other people do things. You can't compare what you're doing with other people. That's a huge mistake. I think every young pastor, teacher goes through that. I think at some point you look around and you think, I want to be like that guy. I want to be like that guy. I want to be like that guy. And the thing is, if you try to be that guy, then you find yourself struggling continually because you're not that guy. The easiest thing for you to do in ministry is to be yourself because you don't have to put on anything to be yourself. You just stand up and you're yourself, and you're yourself day in and day out. And God will use that in your life. But if you try to put on someone else's armor, I listen to someone like Skip or Charles Swindoll, and I think, man, I want to be like them. It's far better for me to be me. It's far better for me to come out and be me. And I think it's that way for all of us. So it says, he put on the bronze helmet on his head and also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to the armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these. I have not tested them. So David took them off. Just couldn't walk around, couldn't fight against him. There was no way to do it. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. So as he goes out, he gets to the spot where the brook is and he chooses 5 smooth stones. Somewhere, I have 5 smooth stones from that same brook where we'll stop sometimes and look around and pick them up. And I had them up on a shelf in my old house, but when I moved, they're actually in a box somewhere up in my garage. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch, which he had. And a sling was in his hand. Not a slingshot, but a sling. This is a piece of leather that has the pouch on it. You put the rock inside of it, and you sling it, and you let go of one side, and it shoots the rock forward. So it's a sling. And David obviously was very proficient with it. He drew near to the Philistine. So now the showdown is here. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked down and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. Again, the second time that we're told that he's a youth. He's very young here. And he says, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? He's not saying that they sent David with a stick. He's saying David is the stick. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? David doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a sword, doesn't have a spear. He's got a sling and that's it. So he says, am I a dog you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now, normally, saying you're going to do something is the easiest part. For Goliath, taking God out of the scene, this was not an empty boast. He was like, come to me, I'm going to feed you to the birds. David said to the Philistine, you come at me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. His trust wasn't put in any weapons, but in the God who was with him. And he knew that. He said, the God of the armies that you defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. David isn't taking credit for it. He says, God's going to deliver you into my hand. When we're able to do, we're able to do by the power of God. When we're facing that difficulty, that struggle, that stronghold in our lives, that interaction with a certain person that just seems to go so wrong, the problem in the family, the challenge with our children, when we're facing these things, knowing that God's doing it. And even when we're able to overcome that stronghold that has been so prominent in our lives for so long, it is God that's doing it. When you realize that, it's God that's going to allow me to have victory over this. Instead of praying, Lord, help me that I can defeat this thing. God, I don't want to do this. Help me that I can defeat it. Pray, Lord, you come and defeat it. Be with me. You said you would be with me. Defeat this thing now. In me. It's all you. I put my trust in you. I put my hope in you. You are a deliverer, and I am your child, and you can come and deliver me, even from my own struggles, my own hardships. So he says, verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. Quite literally, he meant that, by the way. And then he says, I will strike you and I will take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. What did Goliath say? Come to me, boy. I'm gonna feed you to the birds. David says, I'm gonna strike you, I'm gonna cut your head off. And then I'm going to feed your army to the birds. David looked past Goliath. He was like, you're nothing. You're just in the way of the army. And your armies are going to become carcasses for the birds. That's the faith that David had. That's the faith of a mustard seed. That's the faith that can move mountains. That's the faith that says, this is just in my way now so that I can go and do the things that God wants me to do. I need to get this out of my way. This is just in my path. And there's more that God has you to do that's much bigger than whatever it is that you're dealing with right now. God is with you, and God can bring you past it. And I love that David responds with, I'm going to feed this whole army to the birds, that the earth may know for God's glory, that there's a God in Israel, that God would be glorified. What is the reason that we want to get these struggles out of our lives? What is the reason that we want to walk with the Lord with integrity so that God could be glorified? So there would be nothing in our lives that would stop anyone from drawing closer to Christ or find themselves closer to him. It says, then all this assembly, verse 47, shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David's like, I'm just here representing God, and God's the one who's fighting. I remember Pastor Chuck coming up to a particular challenge that they had with the church at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. And they were, I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but it was a pretty severe situation for the church. They needed to trust God. And I believe that God takes every church through those kind of things. And Pastor Chuck said that he prayed, Lord, this is your church. It's not mine, so I'm not going to worry about it. You take care of it. If God, it belongs to God, it's God's, let God do what God's going to do with it. And even if God wants to remove it, then God could remove it. It's God's. It's his. It's not ours. We're just doing what the Lord's called us to do. Verse 48. So when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. So now what a picture. If you can get that in your mind, you've got a Philistine army that has more advanced technologies than the army of Israel. You've got a shepherd boy with a sling and no armor at all, a giant full of armor, and he's running towards the army. The Philistine is out in front. The army is there. It says here that David ran towards the army. He ran into the teeth of the bear, as he'd done before, and now does it again. He hurried towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. He fell face first onto the ground. Now, again, this is not a Steven Spielberg production because the battle with Goliath would have gone on for 20 minutes or so if that was the case. And it would have gone back and forth and back and forth. But David just reaches in, grabs the stone, and I tried to look up Philistine helmets today to see if they had a shield to put down and whether Goliath may have been overconfident and didn't bring the shield down or not. But whatever it was, his forehead was exposed, and he took a stone right between the eyes, and he fell face down on the ground. Now, what did David say? I'm going to strike you, and I'm going to cut off your head. So then it says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. So I see David as a teenager here. What a thing to do. Take that giant's head with him. And he does walk around with it for a while. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road of Shamrim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistine, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. So he took the armor from Goliath and kept it. And he took the head to Jerusalem. Now, Saul saw David going out against the Philistine. And he said to Abner, the commander of the army, whose son is this youth? Now, we've learned before that he's the son of Jesse. So David goes out and is very clear cut here. He's not relying on his own power, his own skill. He isn't saying, I know I can take this guy because I'm a really good shot with a slingshot. He's trusting in the Lord to be able to defeat this giant that stands in front of him. And that's the only way for us to win. That's the only way for us to overcome whatever giant we may be facing, is to trust that God would fight for us. And maybe to find a new way to pray and maybe a new way to put our trust and hope in him. This is yours. God, I belong to you. This struggle, you can overcome it within me. This situation, you can take care of this situation here. That person that is antagonistic towards me, you can work that out. You can go through me to be able to do it, but to you be the glory because you have done it. Now, three things in closing. Number one, the New Testament uses battle language to encourage us to stand for the Lord. This battle with David and Goliath was quite literal. By the way, 30 years ago, they believed David was a myth. We talked about that in our earlier studies in the life of David. And now we know that David was a very real person. And the archaeology reveals that all of the situations here fit in what was said. But the New Testament uses battle language to encourage us to fight for the Lord. We're told to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation. Know that you are genuinely saved, that you're not playing games, that you're not pretending, but that you have really got a relationship with Christ, that you know him, you want to serve him and follow him. The breastplate of righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ that is given to us, but also to get rid of sin in your life, to be battling and struggling against it. We know that if anybody says they have no sin, they're lying. So we have to trust in Christ to forgive us and his grace, but we also have sanctification in our lives that's taking place. And we want to bring that to God and say, Lord, let me walk in this righteousness. Once we're clean, let's keep short accounts. Let's make sure that we can remain clean, knowing that when we ask him to forgive us, he forgives us. And now we want to walk in that righteousness he gave us. The belt of truth, Paul said. The belt of truth is just being committed to the truth. Whatever the truth is, that's what we want. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And our feet prepared with the gospel. This is what we do. Everywhere we go, we represent Christ. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And people will see it. Two more items. The shield of faith, which puts out the fiery darts of the enemy. The shield of faith. Faith is trusting God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we hear what God's word says and we say, I'll do it. That's faith. Whenever you put your trust in what God has said, when you got something difficult to do, like Paul said, when he said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I've learned to abase. I've learned to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're in the midst of a struggle like that, by you put your trust in God because God is with you and he promised that he would be with you. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is why we take time to go over God's word and find passages like this that can be so encouraging to us. So that's the first. The New Testament uses battle language to encourage us to stand in the Lord. And by the way, once it says put your armor on, once it says you're clothed, then stand and pray. I find that interesting. It doesn't say now go after the devil. It says stand and pray. Get your armor on and stand and pray. Because when you're wearing the armor, you're able to do the things that God wants you to do through the power of God. Number two, God is bigger than any challenges that you face. Whatever may be the giant in your life. And while you've been listening to this study, you've probably thought of something that you're going through, something that's going on in your life. God is bigger than any of those things. And God can fight them for you. It will be God that fights it. Once again, praying, Lord, deliver me from this. Do the work. You be the one to fight this battle. Not only help me to overcome this, but you be the one that would fight this. And number three, don't get stuck looking at how big the problem is. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's not only the author, he's the finisher. And sometimes situations can look huge and overwhelming, but God is the author and finisher of our faith. And there are things in my life that I have entrusted to God because I don't know how to take care of it. I don't know how to handle it. I have to say, God, you have to take this because I can't do it. I'll take his direction, whatever he leads me to do. But there are things in my life that I have to put in his hands. And I think if you look close enough, you'll find that there are things in your life that you can do nothing but put them in his hands, because only God can defeat him. It's only God who could defeat Goliath.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 a.m., streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.